When I type my notes up, I put the date that I'm preaching at least my start date. And which I started this lesson July 13. But there had been some things taking place between that date and now. One, I was absent one Lord's Day. We had a singing the first Sunday night of the month, so it's been a while, and I really wasn't in a hurry to get through it. I thought some of these phrases were significant, well, they are, and important, but I just wanted to dwell on them a little bit. So we've been looking at the word precious that's found in 1 and 2 Peter. And in point number one, we know that he said, you've been grieved by various trials. Yeah. That, what's the purpose of trials? The genuineness of your faith is much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, and there will be some tests that hurt. But we have, when we overcome, that overcoming is more precious than gold that perishes. Then point number two, the easy phrase, one that we're very familiar with, is just the blood of Christ is precious, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Then number three, referring to him or Jesus, he's chosen two things. He's chosen by God and precious. So referring to him as the living stone, the builders rejected it, but God chose him. And an interesting phrase with that word chosen, in Matthew 12, verse 17, Jesus said that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant whom I have chosen. God chose Jesus to be that precious lamb and sacrifice precious blood. And so he said, it's my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. Then a similar phrase in point number four, he's the chief cornerstone, elect and precious. In 1 Peter 2, verse 6, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And then Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, for other foundation can no one lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So concerning the foundation of the church, Jesus is said to be both the chief cornerstone and the foundation. It's not one or the other. He is both, the Bible says. Then number five, I think we're about left off, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. And here's the whole verse. Therefore, to you who believe, he's precious. Right. He's precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Yeah, though even though you can disbelieve all you want to, but God still put Jesus in as the chief cornerstone and the foundation for the church. That's the platform on which our faith stands. That's the platform or the foundation or the fundamental things on which our belief is anchored to. That's the plank or the foundation, is that Jesus is precious. He's the one that's been chosen by God. It's an interesting phrase. I added these to my notes after I printed up the outline. But there's a phrase that's used concerning Jesus. I think I mentioned this 2 weeks ago, that he's referred to twice in the book of Acts as the just one. And I kind of said, there's just one, meaning he's the only just one. Here's the phrase, just kind of interesting. In Acts 7, verse 52, that's Stephen's sermon to the Jewish leaders. And this is part of Stephen's sermon before he was stoned for what he said. He said, which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? Oh, that'll get you like that'll get you some favor. Tell your audience, which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? They killed those who foretold the coming of the just one. And those two words, the word just and the one, are capitalized, referring to Jesus as the just one. There's only one. Only one. He's the one that was chosen by God. It's his blood that's precious. He's that chief cornerstone. He's the foundation. So there's just one. He's the just one. But also to his manner of life, he knew no sin. The second place that that word just one is used is in Acts 22 and verse 15. But I'll go back to verse 13. This is where Saul, before he became the Apostle Paul, he's retelling about his conversion on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. But this is his Paul's retelling, Acts 22. I'm going to begin reading at verse 13. Paul said, Ananias came to me, stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. At the same hour, I looked up at him. Then he said, here it is. Ananias said to Saul, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. So Jesus is, he's precious to we who believe because he's the just one. He's the only one who could be an acceptable sacrifice for our sins. And that's why his blood is referred to as being precious, precious, precious blood. Then number six, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. He opens the chapter by saying, or the book, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us. Your faith is precious. Our faith is precious. Don't disregard it. Don't cast it aside. Don't give it up. It's a precious faith. He says, and there that there be no, by the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ. But we have obtained, the first word means that we've come into possession of this like precious faith. We've acquired it. It's here. We hold on to it. We have it. So we've obtained like is the next word. In other words, our faith should be similar, like faith. We should have the same faith. In other words, our faith is what we all agree to. It's like precious faith. In other words, it's uniform. I put equally precious should be by all of us. So the phrase is, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us. So the next is, our faith is precious. Yours is, mine is. So it has, now by definition, you go back to the top of your page in the introduction, definition of precious. It has value. Your faith is a treasure. It's worth keeping. We've obtained like precious faith. And then that word faith. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, to be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same judgment. Paul said in Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6, that there's one faith. So we've obtained like precious faith. That we've obtained. We all believe in that one gospel message. We share a faith that's common, that's the same. We believe alike. And then Peter says, like with us. Yeah, so it's almost like Peter is saying, no matter whoever you are, Jew or Gentile, you hold a faith like Peter holds. You hold a faith like I hold. I hold a faith like you hold. We enjoy and we've obtained, we're hanging on to a like precious faith. Don't give it up. Don't give it up. Okay. Then the last one. In 2 Peter chapter 1, the next verse, verses 2 through 4. So Peter continues after we've obtained that like precious faith with us. He says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. Don't give up learning. Don't give up Bible study. Grace and peace in the knowledge of God and our Lord and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Remember, I mentioned that in our lesson this morning. And then God's given us a second thing. He says, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which you've been given exceedingly great and precious promises. Two things. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We lack nothing. We lack nothing. We need nothing else but that except for what God has delivered to us. He's given us all things. There's nothing else. All things that pertain to life and godliness. And then that next phrase, he's given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Ah. So it's all done, that opening phrase, by his divine power. Meaning it's God's power that brought us our salvation. Wasn't established by committee, majority rule, whatever the popular fad is right now. No, it's by his divine power. Bible says in Hebrews 5 verse 9 concerning Jesus, having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all that obey him. He's the author. Divine power has delivered to us salvation, all things that pertain to life and godliness. In Hebrews 12 verse 1, therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let's lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let's run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Ah, our faith has been given to us by divine power. That's that opening phrase in 2 Peter 1, verses 2 through 4. Divine power has delivered this. That's one thing that makes the promises so great and precious. Precious promises have been given to us. They're an interesting phrase because it says exceedingly great. If something's exceeding, means it's beyond natural or a set limit. It's exceeding. You exceed the speed limit. You exceed beyond. You know, it's if something's exceedingly, mean it surpasses, it's over and above. If it's exceeding, it's enough and then some. It's exceeding. It's huge. So when you think about the precious promises of God, they're exceeding. They're exceeding. It's above and beyond. And then the word is great, exceedingly great. Definition, large, much, the best, impressive, majestic, huge. It's exceedingly great. And then precious, back to our original definition at the top of your notes. It's a treasure. God's exceedingly great, precious. Something to hang on to. Next word, promises. God's promises are exceedingly great and precious. Three adjectives to describe the promises of God in this text. Yeah. It gives, I mean, if there's a promise, it means you give your word to do it. You've made a vow. You've made a declaration that one will do what he said. I made a promise. God made a promise. In Titus 1 verse 2, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. God promised. Precious, exceedingly great, precious promise. Wow. In Romans 4 verse 20, he, meaning Abraham, didn't waver at the promise of God. Why not? Why didn't you waver, Abraham? He didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief. He was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Here it is, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform God's, look at those words again, exceedingly great, precious promise. So Peter, at least seven times in this first and second letters, has used that word precious to describe either what God has done for us, or our relationship to one another, or our relationship to God. There's some things that are so precious in life, and had them listed. The genuineness of your faith when it's overcoming trials, that's more precious than gold when you remain steadfast through the fiery trials. The precious blood of Christ. Jesus has been chosen by God, and so that makes him precious. He's the chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And then number five, it just says, he's precious. He's precious. Number six, to those who have obtained like common immunity, like precious faith with us, Peter says. Yeah, we believe the same as Peter does. And then this last one, I've said it already, exceedingly great, precious promises. So that's the lesson. I'm not sure. Next week, I'm not sure what direction I'm going to go. I think I'm going to take another word like precious, but I'm going to look at the word better in the book of Hebrews. It's listed almost a dozen times, the word better. What's things that are better? Better things, of course, it's the contrast to the old law, but the better things in the book of Hebrews. Now, Lord willing, I keep going that direction, but that's what we'll do. Again and always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. I always use different words, exhortation. And I do that because of what Peter did in Acts 2, verse 40. With many other words, he testified. He exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this untoward or crooked generation. King James uses that word untoward. You're not going toward God, you're untoward. You're not going toward anything good. So it's a good King James word. Save yourselves from this untoward generation, or crooked generation is the new King James word. But that's the lesson. There's a salvation that's offered. It's the salvation that Jesus told his apostles to preach to all the world. You understand those last words of Jesus before he ascended back to the Father. He has all the authority in heaven and on earth. Go and make disciples of all the nations. How are they going to do that? Baptizing them in the name of by heaven's authority, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. I'm with you. There's somebody that walks beside us to help us in our journey, spiritual journey. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So that's the invitation we extend at each time we assemble at the close of the lesson. If you're subject to it, you have that opportunity this evening. Simply let that resolve or that decision be made at the closing of this song. So let's stand together. We'll sing the song the dentist has selected for us. What was the number again, Dennis?
943.
943.